In the course of my pastoral ministry, it has been quite common for people to approach me with this question: how does God reveal himself to us? How God reveals himself? This kind of question arises not only from non-Christians, but also from born-again Christians. This doesn't mean that they don't know the doctrine, but that some people struggle to apply this knowledge in practical understanding. This also doesn't necessarily indicate a lack of faith or love for God. It simply shows a desire to have a deeper understanding of biblical doctrine. That's what we're going to talk this morning. After living and receiving education for 40 years as the son of the daughter of the Pharaoh of Egypt, Moses was taken to the desert to learn the simplicity of life, working as a shepherd of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. According to Stephen's speech in Acts chapter 7, Moses had already been living in the desert for 40 years, making him now 8 years old at that time. It was only at that stage in Moses' life that God considered him ready to receive this special revelation, through which the Lord would also give Moses a new purpose for his life. This is a good encouragement for those who think that now they are 60, 62, almost 63, like myself. It now is time to stop. Moses started with the age 18. Yesterday, my favorite aunt, my mother's sister, turned 98. And she's still making a plan to come to the States to visit me. I don't know if it would be possible. But that, she refuses to retire. Well, she's retired officially, but in terms of stopping the life, waiting for the death. This morning, we're going to learn some lessons about God's revelation through the burning bush. The first lesson that we can learn here from the burning bush event is that God reveals himself to those who allow him to work in their lives. To those who allow him to work in their lives. Okay, Fernando, we are Christians. We know this truth. We have walked, received this information that God reveals himself only for those who alone walk in them, in ourselves. You know this, okay? I know that you know. But the problem is, we have probably a little bit more than a feet long distance from the brain to the heart. And sometimes that is an infinite mileage long distance from brain to heart. I mean, we know, but sometimes we find ourselves in a struggle to bring this knowledge to practical life. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, I'm going to read again, says this: Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Even though Moses was born to a Hebrew mother and spent his early childhood being raised by her to fear God, he was officially recognized as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, receiving the finest Egyptian education. In other words, in terms of formal education, he was raised as a prince of Egypt, receiving all his instruction according to the science of that country. For that reason, Moses certainly felt like a superior being, which would explain why he was involved twice in a physical altercation. Once against an Egyptian, and another time when he saw a fight between two Hebrews. Because Moses murdered an Egyptian in defense of a Hebrew, he feared that the Pharaoh would decree his death. It's why at the age of 40, he became fugitive into the desert of Midian, where he met and married Zipporah, the daughter of Reuel, the priest of Midian. There, Moses spent another 40 years of his life. What was the second reason for this season in his life? Moses needed to understand that God manifests his power in humble, simple, and seemingly insignificant things. I want to repeat to put stress this. Moses needed to understand that God manifests his power in humble, simple, and seemingly insignificant things. He needed to understand that it wouldn't be his royal status or his knowledge of the science that God used to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt. Just as God would do in the future with the prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, and also with Paul, the apostles, among others. This also the same way God works today among us. To better know our God and Lord and his intimacy and establish a profound relationship with him, we need to allow themselves to be worked and transformed by his Holy Spirit. It's not easy. I know it. It's not easy. Sometimes it can be really challenging because it involves letting the Holy Spirit transform our character and changing what we consider just based in our own sense of what is right. However, the Word of God teaches us that what truly matters for being used by God isn't our personal sense of justice, but our deep commitment to Him. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says this: "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." The eyes of God could see lots of children of Him, but He was looking for those who had hearts committed to Him. Those are the ones to whom God reveals Himself in an everyday basis. The second lesson that we can learn here from this the burning bush event, the first was, God reveals Himself to those who allow themselves to be worked by Him. But the second lesson is this: God reveals Himself to those who have eyes for him. Let's return to chapter 3, verse 2 to 4 of in book of Exodus. There we find this. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush doesn't burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Moses was out in the wilderness looking after his father-in-law's flocks when something incredibly strange caught his eyes. A bush that was on fire, but not being consumed by the flames. Indeed, it was an odd sight. How could a bush be on fire without being consumed by the flames? How can it be possible? Maybe if any of us were there, we might have chose to flee, thinking something risky was about to happen. But for Moses, who had lived in that environment for 40 years, it captured his attention for at least two significant reasons. One, it was a desert with a little greenery around, and bushes were scattered here and there, being uncommon, making large fires. And second, even if a bush could catch fire due to the dry and weather and heat, the usual outcome would be for the bush to be consumed by the fire immediately. Moses had been raised with knowledge of the advanced science of Egypt at the time, which is why God used something intriguing to capture his attention. That happened with us as well. Some event happened in our lives only with the purpose to God call our attention to him. Otherwise, probably we would never listen to him. We would never see him. I use this. I have two little grandchildren at my very close to my home. My two grandchildren, when they come to my home, and they are very agitated, running, screaming, asking for something. Sometimes I stop, I do something stupid. I fell down on the ground. Or I put my head on my face. And they stay there long. And then they stop and they come to me and say, Vovô, which is a Portuguese word for grandpa. Vovô, what are you doing? So I'm trying to catch your attention. Now, listen to me. And then I say, it's what God sometimes does with us. He does something strange in our eyes, something different according to our understanding, to keep our attention. Otherwise, we wouldn't see him. We wouldn't listen to him. And it worked with Moses, because Moses immediately stopped to understand what was happening. He was able to hear God speaking to him. The same principle applies to us today due to the rush of everyday life. Probably doesn't happen with you. Sometimes, unfortunately, happen with me. Due to the rush of the everyday life, we often invest little time in listening to God's voice. Prayers are frequently rushed or limited to meal time only. As a result, golden opportunities to hear the voice of God in everyday life go to waste. Brothers and sisters, let's keep in vivid in our minds that to hear what God has to tell us, we simply need to stop and pay attention to His voice. Simply it is. God can speak to us through different situations, through extraordinary moments like the one experienced by Moses, but as well as in moments of silence, such as the one experienced by Elijah, when he heard God's voice through a gentle, what? Whisper. Despite facing tremendous distress. It doesn't matter what situation we are in. God always speaks to us when we stop to listen to Him. Brothers and sisters, when we sincerely pause to listen to His voice, we become amazed by what He has prepared for us, for what He has to teach us. And our reaction won't be different from that of Moses, Samuel, and Isaiah when they said, God, here I am, even through challenging times. Third, in the last lesson that we can have today from the burning bush event. First of all, was God reveals Himself to those who allow themselves to be walked by Him, to those who have eyes for Him. And the last, God reveals Himself to let us know who He is. Let's return to Exodus chapter 3. Now, verses 5 to 6. Bible says, Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then He said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. I remember a very comic event in my life. I was invited to pray in the ground that the church had bought to build the new temple. So they invited me to pray there. But in the service in the morning, they gave me a new shoes, brand new shoes. That was my size. Even though it was my size, because it was new, both my feet were in pain because that was new one. So I was standing at the ground, 3 p.m., Brazil, midday, the sun is here, beyond 100 degrees, and my feet was there, screaming. And then I remember this text. I said, well, let's read this text. And I read it. So let's do as God said to Moses. Let's take our shoes out. And then I took my shoes and I preached barefoot. So that was my relief. That was fantastic. Praise God. Yeah, praise. Oh, this is this is the wisdom that God sometimes gives us for those kind of moments. At this time, we need to remember that Moses went into the desert of the Midian to escape from Pharaoh. Let's remember this. Moses thought that he knew what justice was, but his idea was based on his own understanding. In the desert, God worked in Moses' character to show him who God really was and how he planned to work through his life. Understanding God's time was crucial. This is what we need to understand in our everyday life. God's timing. Not that I emphasize knowing who God was, not merely having information about him. That is the problem of the most of the born-again Christians. People have information about God, but not personal experience with God. They don't know deeply in their heart who God is. Let me tell you another story. A very eloquent person, renowned for his excellent voice and poetry reciting skills, decided to present Psalm 23 during one of his performances. At the end of his presentation, the audience applauded enthusiastically for his excellent delivery. It was when the show director came with an idea. He challenged someone from the audience to outdo the professional. They had a long silence. After a while, an old man stood up and offered to recite Psalm 23. He walked up to the stage with minimal physical presentation and without a professional voice. Yet he recited the psalm. At the end, no one stood up and clapped their hands. But everyone was visibly full of emotion, in tears. The show director turned to the professional who had performed first and then to the old man, trying to understand what was happening. Why the difference? For the first one, they clapped their hand, and for the second one, they were in tears. That was when the professional gentleman, also in tears, said this: "I know Psalm 23, but this man from the audience knows the Lord of the Psalm 23. That is the difference. Knowing God, not only about God, this makes all the difference. The intimate knowledge of God made all difference in Moses' life. To make it clear who was talking to him, God introduced himself this way: "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. In other hands, I am the one who chose Abraham, called Isaac, and made Jacob my chosen people. This is the one who is speaking to you, Moses." God always makes it clear who he is to instill confidence in us. God has revealed himself fully through the Holy Scriptures and Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, where we read this. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. To know God in our everyday lives, it's not enough to merely have information about him. Relying solely in what those tell us about God is not sufficient. It's more than just hearing good sermons on Sunday services. Why all those things are important, actually very important, the real transformative factor in our Christian life comes from personally experience who God is. Personal experience. And sometimes experiences throw us to the desert. And sometimes experience with God throw us for challenging times. In order to understand that we never would rely in our knowledge, in our capacity to do things, but to understand our fully dependence of God. It's essential to be familiarized with the Holy Scripture and through them have daily experience with God. God still speaks to us. We have the Scripture. This is the voice of God. From there, we can truly experience the comfort of what God teaches us, according to Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. It's not easy. I know that is not easy, but it's necessary. Brothers and sisters, Moses ascended Mount Horeb as a shepherd of his father-in-law's flock, but God forever changed his story. When he descended, he was the deliverer of Israel. In the same way, when we surrender ourselves to God's will, casting away the sandals of our ego before him, our stories are transformed forever. This revelation documented in the Holy Scripture has been granted to us, allowing us to perceive the majesty of our benevolent God, who never conceals himself from us. He never conceals himself from us. Through this word, through his word, God reveals his love, salvation, and guidance to those who allow themselves to be worked by him, have eyes for him, and personally know who he is. The consequence? Be still and know that who God is. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this opportunity you have given us to hear your word. Please, God, work in our hearts, increasing our faith and strengthening our hope. Bring us closer to you so that we can know you better beyond our intellectual understanding. We are here to be changed by you in our daily life. We pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.